Hey Salem.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
How are you finding Lagos?
Well, do you want the long answer or the short answer?
The long one.
It's taking a lot of getting used to. When you lived in Abuja and you come to Lagos, it's a bit of an experience. I experience culture shocks daily. I'm serious.
It can't be that bad.
It's that bad. let me give you one example. A Lagos person tells you, oh, let's go to this place. Is it far? They're like, no, it's not far at all. And then this place that they're saying is not far at all is 45 minutes away.
That's not far now. That's actually not far.
Do you see why it's a culture shock? Because in Abuja, if a place is 45 minutes away, I'm not going.
Why?
Because it's too far.
45 minutes.
I'm telling you.
If you don't have to spend two... There was a time I went to see my mom, and coming back home, it was like 4 hours.
If you spend 2 hours on the road in Abuja, you'll be in another city by the time you arrive. I'm serious. There's nowhere... there's nowhere you want to go that will take 2 hours, literally.
So is that you guys have traffic, basically?
It's not about the traffic. The road networks are also great. So you can moving around is
easy. It was
easy.
A planned city.
It's a planned city.
Yeah, I Lagos think Lagos not, just happened.
Yeah, vibes.
As in, it just happened. They didn't really plan.
And Lagos just has great PR, but like the reality of living in Lagos, bruh.
You know, low-key, that's why I was like telling you, you know, that I wish that I could go and live somewhere else for a while.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like, because I'm too used to Lagos, like when I went to Ghana for the first time this year, I was so excited. Because I was like, you mean that people don't litter? You mean that things are actually working? Like you can tell somebody, come and meet me at this time and they are there. It was like I was too happy. I think my husband had to tell me chill, like, calm down. It's not like calm down. It's great, but it's not that great. So I'm just like, I guess that's what Lagos would do to you.
Yeah, and everybody in Lagos always assumes that the other person is going to come late. I realize that people are not very punctual in Lagos.
Yes.
One time I arrived at an event and like the organizers, oh my god, you came early, and I'm like, no, I came on time.
On time,
like,
right?
Like, oh, you stay in Abuja, no wonder.
Because
they hadn't started. They were not even done decorating and everything. I mean, I was already there.
I'm not even surprised.
So, I don't know. I'm torn. Like, I don't know. Should I start coming late?
No.
Or should I hold on to my values of always coming early and being the first person?
I always come early. It doesn't matter even if people come late. But yeah, Salem, welcome to my podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you. So you guys don't know, but like yesterday I had like a conversation with Salem that I was so happy about. Basically, he was asking why he was the person that I decided to have for this topic. And I was just telling him how I have watched him over the years on like social media, silently, obviously, you know, I'm just creeping, you know, just like, I think the first time I saw you was when you did one like video. I can't even really remember what you're talking about. But in that video, you said Ezine. You mentioned my name in that video. And I was just like, whoa, like that was such a shock. Obviously, it wasn't me, Ezine, but it was just the name. And I was like, who is this guy that just mentioned my name like that? Because like Ezine is not like a common name that is used in like content creation. Usually Chioma or, you know, something else that is like a very easy Igbo name, you know. So I was just like, okay. Then I started going through your, you know, profile. I was like, okay, it seems like he creates content that I can benefit from. So anyway, how did you start like creating these like content that you like put out?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
When I first started, I didn't know that what I was doing was content. I was just this 21-year-old boy who had read a whole lot of books and had asked a whole lot of questions. My dad has also read like hundreds of books, so he likes to answer questions and he really encouraged questions growing up. So there was a lot of knowledge I had, right? And I wanted to teach. I thought I was going to be like a motivational speaker.
Okay.
But when you're 21 years old, like, where will you gather people to teach them? Like, what do you want to teach them, you know? Because, like, what do you even know about life? So I never really got the opportunity. And, of course, I was getting there. I thought, you know, over time, maybe over 5 or 8, 10 years, I would get there. But I decided to just start putting my thoughts out on social media. And sometime in 2018, I decided that, okay, in January, I'm going to do 30 videos in 30 days.
Whoa.
I don't know where the idea came from. You know, at the time, I still had a 9-to-5. By the way, Ezine was my colleague. Like, she used to sit across the table from me.
I did? When? At work.
Not you. And the person
the person, the Ezine. Yeah. No, I was like, me when? Like...
Yeah, so that's why her name just came up in my video. I don't know where the idea came from, but I started. At the time, I had like 1-5 followers. And in my mind, I'm like, if at the end of 30 days, I can go from 1-5 to 2,000, that would be huge. Like, I would have blown.
Groundbreaking.
In my mind. Did you get? And in that 1 month period, my following went from 1-5 to 5,000.
Whoa.
And that's how my content creation journey began. Because it just, I just felt like, oh, okay, people like this stuff. I have to do more. I didn't plan to be a content creator. I didn't plan to be an influencer. I was just having fun with this thing that was an escape from work for me. You know, and...
Did you ever worry that maybe some of your, like, colleagues might see your stuff?
Oh, they saw my stuff. I mean, my colleagues... my colleagues, we were close because we spent most of the time on our day together. And I used to film at night, you know, and post at 12 midnight because it was literally the only time I had. And they would see it in the morning, you know, and would laugh about it and then we'd go back to our job. So, yeah, they saw my content and it wasn't a problem.
I think, like, for me, for the longest time, I didn't really care about the content I was making because I never got to meet the people that I was were watching it.
Yeah.
But by the time, you know, more people started coming and they actually started walking up to me and being like, oh, I watched your video. I'm like, crap. So I can't even imagine walking in a place where people are like, oh, look at your content. I can't.
Literally. Yeah, there was no way for me to hide it from them because we were friends. We already followed each other. And then I started to create content because I went from like somebody who was a normal person on Instagram, somebody who was getting hundreds of comments. So, like, I was entering influencer territory without even knowing it. So, it just so happened.
What was your first content that went viral?
Viral is very subjective. I don't remember which one went viral, but I just knew that I was consistently getting hundreds of comments on a post, which didn't make sense because I only had, like, 5,000 followers. You know, but like back to back, I had a whole lot of people. It was, and it wasn't strangers, there were people who were following me. So after they watched my content, they would follow me and they would watch the next day's one and they would watch the next day's one, and it was like consistent. So I didn't really stop to know if it was going viral outside of my circle because my account was growing, everything was just growing at the same time. Yeah.
Okay, so you would say that you had like a very personal relationship with the people that were like following you?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't call it a personal relationship, but I had a genuine connection, is what I would say, because I used to reply all the comments.
Okay.
So if you ever saw 500 comments on my post, you could be sure that 250 were mine, because I used to respond to everybody. And it wasn't like, I didn't know that was a strategy for like community building. I was just replying because I'm like, wow, this person really took 1 minute of their time to watch my content. I'm grateful. Let me reply. It was the least I could do. And sometimes before I would reply to somebody, I would tap on their profile to like just see what their name is or what they're about, you know, so that
you
I could.
Very intentional.
I know. Mad, I know. I would, and I would, so I could respond in a very personal way, you know, and all. And
people
I didn't
are here, you know, if you want love, come and follow.
I honestly didn't know that was doing something. Me, I was just like, wow, you watched my stuff, thank you. That's all it was. But over time, you know, when I talk to people who have been following me for like 4 years, they're like, oh, it was that one time that you responded in this way. I'm like, what, you're kidding? Like, no, like, that's why I still follow you. I really love your stuff, I love your journey and all of that. So
I feel like it was, you know, Ismeme that taught me that, because like I used to obviously avoid people because I'm just like, I don't want to, you know. But Ismeme taught me that when you remember somebody's name, it has such an impact on them. And I've seen that happen so many times, like places that we are not even supposed to get into, because maybe when we passed, Ismeme greeted the person and asked him his name, and then comes back and he's like, ah, hey Paul, how are you doing? Exactly. The guy is like, ah, do you know me?
You remember
and
he
just
my
opens
name.
The door, like, and then we just get in. So
I've
just seen that from my husband and just learned it from him, that okay, if you treat people well, remember their names, they are most likely going to, you know, open that door for you, so to speak.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about today with you is how social media is not a safe space, mm-hmm. and talk about the cost of internet fame. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask, like, what would you say for you has been the cost of internet fame?
How much time do we have?
Let us go there. Let us talk. Share your own and share my own. Let's go there.
Bruh, if I start to talk. Well, for me, you know, on one hand, I don't consider myself famous, right? Which is, wait now, allow me to finish my sentence. Which I've considered that is a delusion I have to let go of.
Okay.
Because me, like, when I think of people I look up to, they're like way up there. They're mm-hmm. not on my level. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? Me, I don't see myself as if I've arrived or like mm-hmm. I've done anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not resting. I'm not, mm-hmm. okay, I'm resting. But like, I'm not saying like, oh, I've achieved yeah. or anything. But compared to the average person, there's a certain level of visibility and notoriety that I have. That's something that I have to be conscious mm-hmm. of. So initially, I wasn't like, I just used to live my life like a normal guy. Like, I used to mm-hmm. eat gala on the street and stuff because, like, that's what the guy does. Mm-hmm. But it started to happen like once in a while, someone would see me at the mall or something. Oh my God, are you the guy from Instagram? You know, or on the street, I'm trying to buy a car. And then it's like, oh my God, I know you. I'm not sure where, but I know you. Mm. And it's somebody that I don't know. I know you're not my classmate. I know you're not my friend, you know, and everything. So the first few times was cute. You know, the first few times somebody would ask me for a selfie. I'm like, is this me?
Yeah.
Am I Wizkid?
I'm screaming.
Is there a chance that I'm Ramsey Noah? So it was cute, but then it started to happen a lot, and mm-hmm. it now started to affect how I viewed myself mm-hmm. because I started to feel watched. Mm-hmm. Then it started to affect my, you know, my own regular lifestyle. So because when I first started creating content, I didn't have money. I was making mm-hmm. zero money from content. So like you would see me taking keke for instance, or like taking public transport and all of that. So I started to feel conscious, like God, this one that somebody inside KK has recognized me now. You know, yeah. Are they going to go and tell people I'm living fake life? You know, which took so much for me. You know, I started to feel embarrassed about things that were normal.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I had to now check myself and like try to figure out how do I work this? How do I encourage myself to know that despite the fact that I have this life that is becoming rapidly public, I'm still a normal person. Mm-hmm. I'm still just a 22-year-old. I'm still mm-hmm. just, you know, and I started to give myself grace and then grow from there. But then it got even worse, right? Like, it started to get worse and worse that people would recognize me, you know, in places like church or you just places. Sometimes somebody would send me a DM. Oh, I saw somebody around this area with a black t-shirt. Was that you? I'm like, God.
Time to wear green.
Hey, God. Like, you know, I'm like, I didn't even notice the person, but they noticed me. That means even when I'm being watched. So that started to really, really mess with, you know, my ability to just enjoy my regular life. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course there are other things, but that's when that awareness started to mess with me. And it's still something that I'm in the process of grappling with. You know, there's other costs, of course. Like, there's so many things, like people thinking you can solve all their problems.
Bruh.
You know, like people thinking if you can just repost my stuff. And I sometimes try to explain to people that I'm not as powerful as you think I am. Mm. You know, you still have to do the work that you need to do. And I can't save you, I can't do all of this, but it's just in the first cost that, you know, that was obvious to me was I started to become very self-conscious because I felt watched, you know, and everything.
Yeah, I think I can completely relate to that, like to everything you're saying. I think mine may have been worse because I came into this, and this is not a contest of, you know, who has had like, worse, you know, experience. But I feel like mine was worse because I came into the public light because of my faith.
Yeah.
So the expectations for me were high.
Yeah.
And I started this when I was like, 19? And I was just still very like wide-eyed, you know, innocent, like, you know, when I started putting things out there, obviously mm-hmm. started putting things out there because God asked me to, mm-hmm. and I would share my faith. And like before this, I had only ever known the unconditional love of God, which also includes his discipline. It's yeah. not, you know, devoid of that, but God had never disciplined me the way people wanted to. Like every single thing I did was picked apart.
Yeah.
And that even started to affect how I viewed God. I think that people did not know that for the longest time I was struggling in my relationship with God,
yeah.
because I never spoke about it mm-hmm. publicly. And that's why sometimes when I see like church leaders fail, mm-hmm. or I see them decide that they don't want to be Christians anymore, I can understand.
Yeah.
I feel like
you're able to empathize.
Yes, if you've never been there, then you don't know the weight of the pressure, mm-hmm. like on a daily basis, mm-hmm. from people, you know. And just like what you were saying, like how, like, I remember that I might go somewhere and somebody would say, would just message me, I saw you at so and so bus stop. And I'm just like, it was hard. So I'm not even going to try and make it sound easy. It was very hard, especially because, and every time I say this, people are always shocked, but I'm a very private person. I'm actually a very private person. And all these things I share are things that I feel like might help people.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't care who knows it.
Yeah.
But it's that there's a lot more going on than what is being shared.
Of course.
Always, always, you know. But I can understand, because there was a day I was really struggling with this thing, and God told me, what if you met Stephanie Gretzinger? How would you react? I was like, what in the meeting? I walk up to her and say, Stephanie, I need to hug you. It is a need to business. I will hug her. I will tell her she has changed my life. I want her to look into my eyes and tell me I can see the spirit of God all over you. Like, I want that intimacy with her. And then God said, well, give that to other people. Because just the same way you look up to this person that has never met you, is how there are people who have never met you that look up to you. Mm-hmm. But for me, I had to learn to put boundaries in place for my own sanity.
That makes perfect sense.
I think that started in 2020. Before then, every single message, I must open it, I must read, I must answer. Sometimes I will find that I wake up in the morning and there's such a weight on me,
mm-hmm.
because I have been answering messages yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Today I managed to put it down in the presence of God. Before I can, I've already carried another, you know, people, oh, my house rent, my mother is sick, I need you to pray, I need you to give me money, I need you to, oh, Jesus. I remember there was a season of my life when I was praying for God to take my life, because it was just a lot to deal with, and it wasn't stopping or slowing down.
Mm.
And then around that time when I was just telling God, like, can you just take me away? Because these problems are too many and I can't solve them. And God gave me a dream. I had a dream where I was cooking like a large pot of stew and people were lined up. You know, I would dish the stew, they would walk away. Then after a while, they just got tired of waiting and they were just breaking ranks. They would come, they would put their hands inside, they were splashing it on me. The pot fell over, everything on the floor. It was a mess. And then I woke up and God said, if you don't create boundaries and you just allow people just get access to you and just come and mess up your life, mess up everywhere, nobody's even going to come to you for anything anymore, because you are just going to be a mess, literally.
Yeah.
It was very difficult, but I had to start, you know, setting boundaries in place, saying, you know, I'm not going to respond to every message. I'm not even going to look, to be honest, you know. And then I'm just only going to do what I can do per time.
That's something I had to learn. One thing I learned the hard way is people do not have a responsibility to protect you.
Mm.
If you don't do it for yourself, they won't do it for you.
Mm.
Like, they won't realize at some point that, isn't it as hard enough? Let's chill.
Mm.
No, it's not like the general public has a meeting where everyone is like, I insulted Ezine today, so please let her rest.
Oh my days, you know? That was something else. Sorry, like, I would have someone that would just come and say, you are very stupid. I watched your YouTube video and you said this and that. Anyway, I'm sure praying for you. YouTube, pray for me. I kid you not. I had to create boundaries. I just
such righteous insults. Like, I'm praying for you at
even,
the end.
You don't even want to know.
It's crazy how sometimes I'm praying for you means, you know, it's like a very nice way for Christians to tell you
you need help.
As in, But yeah, that's one thing I found out, that these guys are not just going to take it that Salem is such an amazing person, let's treat him well. Nah.
Yeah.
You know, people just think about themselves.
Yes.
You know, people don't, when someone sends me a DM, you know, and I respond, sometimes I'll meet the person in real life and be like, oh, I'm the one that sent you a DM yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, do you know how many DMs I got yesterday?
Yeah, actually.
You know, and I can't tell them that, but
because it will come off as
seen. Yeah, but I now, it makes me now see how people see, like, they think about themselves in their world. They are the main character.
Yeah.
So when they are coming to me, they forget that I have to also deal with 1,000 other people who are the main character in their own lives. So I now had to prioritize my own well-being, which is something that I felt guilty about initially. I felt like, you've been sent to serve.
Yeah.
You're trying to reach young people.
Yes.
These people need you, you know, and all of that. How can you now say you're not going to, you know, I feel guilty about it because I'm like, God, why is my capacity low?
Yeah,
you know, I should be able to handle all of this, but bruh.
Salem is me. We are going through it together. What?
After a while, I just had to realize that, okay, I can't reach everybody.
Yeah.
I cannot serve everybody. So there's a certain philosophy I learned from Andy Stanley. He always says, do for one what you wish you could do for 1,000.
Mm.
So sometimes I really want to help everybody. I really want to reach out to everybody. I want to get on a phone call with everybody and walk them through their problems. But there's only one me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. I will die.
It's not even possible.
Do you understand? It's not possible. So I've just learned that, okay, when I'm able to give to one person, I give that person my best. And I forgive myself for all the other people that I cannot reach because there's only so many people I can reach. And then I think about the fact that when Jesus was on earth, there were a lot of sick people that he didn't heal.
Facts.
There were a lot of people that died that he didn't raise. Do you understand? I'm like, okay. So I have to, like, control it. If I have to be alive to serve more people, I have to also self-preserve.
Yeah.
I am better off. Like, I'll have more to offer if I'm healthier. The healthier I am, the more people I can help.
Yeah.
The healthier I am, you know, the more I can be of service down the road. But if I give everything of myself away,
that's definitely true. And that was what God was telling me through that dream that I had.
I think, you know, for anyone who has a public life or who desires, you know, to have an impact or influence and reach people, it's so important to have an inner circle of people who love you unconditionally. Because the public doesn't love you unconditionally.
Yep, that is true.
Do you understand? Like, the same people that scream and shout when you do great things, you're also entertainment to them on some level. But I now started to realize that I cannot feel entitled to love from strangers.
Yes.
The people that I can feel entitled to love from are my close friends, my family, my partner. Do you understand? Stuff. And those are relationships I must not replace, because we were not designed to have 200 close friends.
Shake me, Salem. Yes.
Do you understand? Like,
oh my days.
God, you know, you literally can't. Your brain is incapable of maintaining 200 close friendships. So in that way, I feel like we also need to, you know, not allow social media to determine how our life is and know that, okay, I have close friends. These are people that I can trust.
Yeah.
The people on social media, they are not my close friends.
Yeah.
When I need help, when I need to vent, when I need to express something, when I need to process my hurt, social media is not the place for that. That's not what social media is for.
Yeah.
Do you understand? We have friends for a reason. Yeah. We have close family for a reason. Those are the people who are supposed to process the...
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, if you process everything via social media, when you don't get that love back, you now feel betrayed.
Yeah.
And the thing that people get wrong is sometimes people process their hurt on social media and they get good comments, they get goodwill, they get people that say, oh, well, with you, all of that, but...
Are they really with you?
That's the thing. You don't really know. Do you understand? You don't really know their intentions. You can't see their hearts. It's important to have that public life, but like still have people that are close to you, people who can talk to you, people who can see your heart and you can see their hearts too. Not just
Oh gosh, everything you said, golden. Because like the way I started social media, obviously, was with my blog, Bible Diary blog, where I used to post my struggles as a Christian, things that God is teaching me, how I'm growing.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was innocent when I started, so I would just be there, like all I have in my account right now is 50 naira. Like, you know, like there were no limits.
Yeah.
I could post like screenshot of like my bank account balance, like. I was just, girl, you were crazy. Do you understand? Because I'm like, what in the world is going on? But I felt like that was what God was asking me to do. And I feel like, you know, this is why I love God so much. I love him so much because I know that when he was sending me, he saw not just what I was, but what I would become.
Mm.
And he was comfortable with it. He was like, yes, right now, isn't it a little bit cuckoo? But I know who she's eventually going to, you know, become. And I was using social media as my safe space, to be very honest.
Yeah.
It now became a place for me to vent and for me to get, you know, sympathy, because people will always say, oh, I understand what you're going through. Same thing happened to me. You know, sometimes if I post that I'm broke, people might send me money. So I felt like, these are my friends. This is a safe space. I can, you know, unpack. I can sit down here in my home clothes, like it's fine.
Yeah.
Until it came to bite me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Things I had shared in trust, obviously, foolishly, with strangers that I've never even met. Somebody went and created like a whole website, like about the things that I had shared. Like, obviously, and I can't fault them because they never promised me loyalty. That's even something else. So, if Oluchi or Angel, let's say, goes to post something I've told them in private, I have every right to be like, what the heck? We are friends, we have loyalty to each other. How can you do that? But this person never promised me loyalty. We never went through like a friendship process. So, for me, seeing that thing, I can't explain. It took me a while to heal from that thing. I'm not even going to lie, because I was so deeply hurt. The person wrote things like, oh, isn't he never has money? She's always writing about how she's broke. And truly, I was broke.
I mean, times are
I'm not even going to lie. Like, that was a hard time. And I feel like that was why it hurt even more deeply, because I was like, but God, I'm out here doing the Lord's work. Like, what's going on? The person was even like, oh, God cannot come and save her. This is why following God is so foolish. Like, all sort of things this person wrote about me, even things I had posted about, just personal things that I had shared. The person like twisted them and used it to shame me, basically, and to try and shame God. Obviously, it was hard. I think that was when I stopped posting on my blog. I just like, this is not a safe space. You understand? Like, you know, obviously, this is not a safe space. And for me, that just obviously formed the person that I now became.
Mm.
So there are times that people tell me, you have changed. I'm like, obviously, things have happened to me. Do you expect me? I'm even growing as a woman. Like, do you expect that who I was when I was 19 years old is who I will be when I am 25? You are not the same person you were 8 years ago. Why do you expect me to be the same person I was? Do you understand? It doesn't make any sense. So after that experience, I really understood that social media is not a safe space. The people on social media are not my friends.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who maybe support me or even love me, but I cannot be sharing intimate details of my life in real time with these people. And even when I started dating Isimeme, I didn't post about it. I was telling you for like a year.
Mm.
Like, we were dating for like a year. I didn't post a picture. I didn't post nothing until we had been dating for a year. And I just felt like, okay, at this point, some like people had started knowing, because I had like a, you know, community I was running. And I just felt like I wanted to just post it and just be like, well, I'm dating somebody. But other than that, I think it was just that picture that when I got engaged, like, I was just like, I was very like, I don't want anybody to ever, you know, do what they've done to me to someone that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, have you ever had that kind of, you know, experience? Because I know that you are dating someone.
To be honest. And I mean, over time, I mean, if anybody follows me, you know that I've become a lot more protective over time, because initially I didn't feel any type of way, because I hate to feel like I'm doing anything out of fear. So when I first started dating, like, a lot of people would be like, this, you know, you need to protect your relationship with social media, because social media will end your relationship. But I'm very inquisitive. So whatever I hear, I'll question it. How does social media end relationships?
Facts.
There is no answer. Social media doesn't end relationships.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to share my life, my happiness. But then over time, I, you know, sort of interrogated the whole thing further and understood that, okay, when your relationship that belongs to you starts to depend on public opinion, that can destroy it.
Yes.
So it's not like social media destroys relationships. Yeah. But you giving the power
to people,
of your life to the general public can destroy, can introduce other kinds of problems that would mess up.
And
the
I've noticed also that when people see that you care about what they have to say, they start talking. I've actually noticed that.
So, I mean, over time, I've had to go through a process, which I still am in, of learning what I want to share and what I don't want to share. And this is not just about even my personal life. Even as a teacher, because I'm constantly teaching via social media. Sometimes I learn something and I decide I'm not going to teach it. Do you get? Because sometimes a lesson I'm learning is for me, it's not for the public. God,
see, I'm shaking again. I wish a lot of like Christians also knew this, because sometimes I hear some teachings, I feel like this may be true, but is it for everybody?
It's not always for everybody. Sometimes it's just for you. Because when I first started creating content, I told you, like, a lot of the stuff that was in my content when I first started were things that had been sitting in my notes for 4 or 5 years. But when you start creating content, you actually start to feel like, I need to learn so that I can teach. I need to read a book so that I can have something to talk about. I need to read articles so that... And once you're there, you're already losing your way. You're already losing your way. Because I always want to share from the abundance of how much I have fed myself. Do you understand? How much I have fed my mind. How healthy my life is. How happy I am. How satisfied I am. Out of that, I want to share. But once you're trying to read something so that you can have something to say, that's something to check. I got there like a year plus into creating content. I realized that I'd gotten there. Because when I first started making content, I did not lack content. Like, it was pouring. I told you I made 30 videos in 30 days. Like, I went from zero to making a video every day. And I always had something to say because I had spent years investing in myself. The problem is I now relaxed on that. So I actually got to a point where I didn't have anything to say. And I now started going to hustle stuff to say. Even now I'm like very intentional about my self-development for me. So let the content I share come out of how committed I have been to my own development, not how committed I am to other people's, because I can't be committed to other people's development more than my own. Right? Eventually, I will run out of juice, you know, and I can't share from an empty place. So I've just learned, though, sometimes if I'm learning something and I feel like I want to talk about it, I just write it down and keep it for a few weeks, for a few months, practice it in my own life, see how it marinates in my own life. Because sometimes I've learned some things that I want to teach and I say, let me wait. And then some weeks later, I realize something new about this thing. Like, okay, I understand this, but I can't communicate it to people in this way. I have to communicate it a different way because everybody is not me. You know, so even even when it comes to everything, our lives, our entertainment, our things that are intimate about our lives. I like that you said, you know, you don't share intimate details real time, because there's some things that you should share. You know, it might help somebody. You know, a small part of a big thing, but sharing in real time, that's giving too much power to the public. You know, like people that are going through something, then like you're crying at the same, like it's just giving too much. It's not safe. It can go any kind of way. Sometimes when you're going through it, people will actually give you comfort, and then some months later somebody will pull it back up.
Oh my days. I even feel like the hardest things that I've gone through, nobody has seen it. So that's why for me, comfort from social media doesn't really like work for me, because I'm like, I've gone through some pretty hard, dark days that not a single soul, apart from maybe my husband and maybe two or three of my friends know. So it's like, why do I now need to come online and say, guys, will you send me money today? Send your girl something now. This one's for your girl. I'm just saying. I'm very careful about what I share, which I wasn't, which I didn't used to think about, because I thought that the way I was the way everybody is. But like I said, somebody will just message me, you're an idiot, you're a fool, this and that. You know, sometimes people even message me, I was gossiping about you. I'm just like, I just want to protect the people that I love. You know, my husband, my children, my family. I don't really post about those things. Even the things I share about my husband, the reason why I share them is because I've really just seen such a problem in the area of like dating, that when I was dating, I wish somebody was doing that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, okay, I'm comfortable to share certain things that I know will help people. But even whilst I'm doing that, I'm still very conscious of how I can give this person privacy, because in as much as God called me to a public life, I don't know that God called my husband to a public life. Yeah. So that's something I have to be conscious about. And
it's
also
not fair to assume that he has to just...
Exactly, that he has to be part of my content. Yeah. You know?
What would you say to people who, you know, I believe there are people who still have to live public lives to some extent, you know, either because of the nature of their jobs or the path they've chosen, or just the fact that they really find joy in expression, you know. What would you say to people like that about, you know, how they can still protect parts of their life? Because me, I have, before you answer the question, I have a belief that, you know, I don't believe that social media is inherently bad.
No, it's not.
You know, it's like water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you can drown in water
and it can also revive you,
but it can also revive you. You know, you use it to cook food. It has so many advantages. Same thing with fire. Fire can burn a whole building, but you need it to cook. You need it to do like other things. So I believe that there's a right way to approach it. But for somebody whose life involves them actually having to be public to a certain extent, how do you think they can navigate it?
I think, first off, of course, you are right. Social media has been a blessing to me. It hasn't just always been stories of woo.
Yeah.
I mean, even this, you know, camera, somebody saw me on social media, somebody I've never even met.
Wow.
Gave me like a whole set, everything, amazing, wonderful lady, you know. People have given to me so many times. I mean, even the books I've written, people buy it. It's the way I'm able to do the things that I do.
Yeah.
So, of course, there are people who have been blessings to me, and I'm eternally grateful to those people. You know, for anybody who knows that they are called to live like a public life, what I always say to everybody I meet, wisdom is profitable to direct. In all you're getting, get wisdom. Like, the most important thing is wisdom. I had to ask myself, this thing I'm sharing, is it because it validates something for me or because somebody genuinely needs it? If it's in a case where somebody needs it, I can live with whatever comes out of it. I don't care, because I know that God asked me to do this. Somebody actually needed it. But if it was something I posted just because, let's say, I wanted people to see how far I've come, if there's backlash from it, I only have myself to blame. And I can only be like, oh, I shouldn't have shared that. You know, so I just feel like, if you're a Christian listening to this, you want to go into content creation, the first thing to pray for is wisdom. Ask God to give you wisdom to know what to share, to what degree, when and how. So it's not everything that has to be like, oh, right now I need to get this out there right now. Like, calm down and really be sure that this is a good time. I even have a friend that I speak to about this as well. She has such a heart for sharing about God. We had an extensive conversation where she was so shocked that she was like, oh my goodness, like, you know, I've never thought about it this way, where it's like, what you're sharing, do people have to know? You know, and it's like, if they have to, why not? Because I've seen people lay down their lives for like lesser causes. Like, you know, we have, you know, what they call it, reality TV stars that let you see them even pooping. So I'm like, people have laid down their lives for lesser causes. So it's like, why not? If not, you know.
I'm one of the reasons I asked is because me, for example, me, I'm a content creator full time. Like, I don't have any other job. Right. And I really, I've grown to really enjoy creating stories out of small things in my life. Right. Like something as small as making my cereal in the morning. I like to just create a story around it and share with people. On one hand, it's helping me build my storytelling skills. On another hand, it's entertainment for people. But I think it's so important to understand that you don't want to make yourself entertainment at the expense of your well-being. Which is something I always do. Like, once I check myself and I see that, oh, I'm sharing this because I want to stunt.
Or you want likes or
comments. I have to stop and just think. If you're not a Christian and you're listening, I understand. But as a Christian, that's not something you can afford to just let slide. If you find that you're doing something for, you know, intentions that are not, you know, you need to stop and actually question it. Like, why? Yeah. Why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. I'm saying that because, of course, there's still content that we put out and there's no real purpose.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be deep. Like
sometimes it's just, it's just
I mean, I do like hair care videos. God didn't necessarily say it's going to push your hair, you know? So, yeah.
I mean, but it still helps so much, right?
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. So it's
So I believe there's all those forms of expression that are also healthy, that are also good for us, that make us feel good. Mm-hmm. But not in a way that if I don't have this, I would die.
Mm.
You know, because I've actually felt that sometimes.
Oh, wow.
You know, some not die, of course, like that's extreme. But once I just see that I have like a very strong pull, like an impulse to share, I know that I need to check this.
Because
a leading is different from an impulse.
Mm.
Like the Holy Spirit's leading is not impulsive. It's not like, you know how when you want to, I mean, have you ever bought anything on impulse before? You know,
I don't have that kind of money yet. Maybe soon, but not now.
I wasn't expecting that response. Please don't kill me. You know, it's just different where impulse versus like a strong leading. And I mean, as we grow, you know, and in discernment and everything, we start to know the difference, you know. But first of all, you have to be willing to like stop and question your motives. Why do I want to do this? Why am I feeling this way? What's going to happen if I don't do it? What's the worst? You know, all of that.
I think sometimes the reason why people also share to that degree is because there is an innate need that has not been satisfied. For me, I found that I was raised to sort of perform. I had to always just get it right and have people tell me, isn't it well done?
Yeah.
So for me, that became almost like a, you know, trigger word. And that like, well done, continue, you are doing well. You know, it was almost like, yes, now I can function today. You know, and I was even going to post something to my story yesterday, but I just felt like, remember what I was telling you? I would just type something, I would just delete it. I'm just like, I don't want people to be like, this girl is always confrontational. But sometimes my heart goes out to people. When I see people, I don't just see them, I really see them. You do get what I'm saying? And sometimes I see people on Instagram posting things. I can see why you posted this thing. You want people to see that you are doing well. You don't want to feel like you are a failure. You want it to look like, me too, something is also happening in my life. And I feel like for such people, the Lord will not be able to do much with you. It's not a curse. It's something that he has told me. For me, I've had to go through many seasons of refinement. God is constantly cooking me. You know, he has told me so many times, like, if I'm struggling with something, he'll tell me, isn't he, if we don't get this out of the way, it will spoil what I want to do. It will not allow you to do much. Anytime you see somebody that God has given influence and audience, God is not foolish. He knows what he's doing. And anytime you see somebody that maybe God has not opened that door for that person, God himself knows why. He hasn't, you know, to some he gave 5 talents, to some he gave 10, to some he gave 3, to some he gave 1. So when I see my fellow Christians or I see other people, I almost want to tell them, honey, your destiny is so much more than the people that are clapping for you. And if you keep focusing on how you can curate content so that people see that you are doing well, you are going to exchange it for your destiny. It's like Esau.
You rob yourself.
Exactly. Esau is like, I'm hungry now. And that's this birthright doesn't mean anything to me. Of what use is this destiny if I don't eat now?
Yeah.
And then you exchange that thing. And what you do, like, why what, sorry that I'm preaching, why what Esau did was so annoying to God was that he undervalued his birthright. So it was that, okay, you don't even regard it. So let it go to somebody else that values it. So you know, at times we communicate to God that our destiny is not worth the price that we have to pay for it in the way that we act. Say that, please. But really, God is like, okay, if you feel like it's not worth your temporary inconvenience, then you really do not, you know,
that makes deserve perfect it. Sense. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. And it reminds me of something that Andy Stanley always says. He says, now screams louder. The thing that you feel like you need now, it always screams louder. But what God wants for you lasts longer.
Yes.
And it's ultimately more important. But like, sorry, I'm always quoting people. There's something Jimmy Needham says. He says like the trick of the devil is to try to convince perfectly satisfied people that they are starving to death. So we always feel like that's what, like,
that's
we
so always good.
Feel like, you know, if this thing doesn't missing. Happen, yeah, you get. And like, God wants us to, which is one of the reasons why I'm so happy I'm a Christian. Gosh, because I'm able to walk from a place of rest. Every video I make, I don't care if it goes viral or not. One of them will go viral every now and then. Glory to God, you get. But wait, I will still post again.
Yeah,
like. The one that go, whether it doesn't go viral, I'll post again in the evening. Whether
I'm sure that your video about Lagos people wearing googles went viral. But when I saw it, I screamed. It went viral.
I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. But I'm still going to post my normal kind of content the next day. Because you just, like, you keep going, you know. And, but we always, and this isn't just a Christian people thing, it's a human thing. We're always looking forward to that one thing, that single event that will happen and everything will just blow. But the thing is, a lot of times you're not even going to know what that single event is
going to be. Like, I remember there was a video I posted, I think about seeking first the kingdom of God. I woke up from sleep, I read my Bible. This was in the afternoon. I was in Ghana and I felt like, oh, God is so wonderful. And I just put on my camera and recorded something. And I was like, okay, if I ever need to just upload something to my channel, I'll just put that. And then I just put that video, didn't even think about it. And the video was just like going, I think I gained like 20,000 subscribers from that video.
Let me tell you something.
I'm like, what?
Let me tell you something. David, my dad quoted you.
Are you sorry? Oh my days.
I'm telling you, like, I was in Abuja, I was visiting my parents, so like, morning devotion, my dad is like, there's this video on YouTube from one Ezinne girl.
Oh my days.
Oh my god, this video traveled. My dad watches a whole lot of YouTube, so like, I'm like,
I don't even know how to feel right now. Like, yeah, I feel like, whoa.
And we had never talked at the time, so I couldn't call you and scream or something. I was just like, okay, this video has traveled. Because I had watched it at the time, too. So.
Mad.
So, yeah.
Mad. I feel like God just showed me with that thing, that isn't it? I'm the one that is in control.
You will never know.
You will never know.
And the only way to have that moment where something takes off is being consistent.
Yeah.
Right? Like, being consistent, doing what you know you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, I always say, like, when you don't know what you need to do, do what you know. You know, when you don't know what you need, just do what you just keep doing the one that you know.
Yeah.
Even if you're in error, you won't be in error for long.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Like, God will actually pull you out of that error because you're diligent and you're like showing up.
Exactly.
So you will never know. So if you're sitting somewhere constantly trying to create the perfect body of work, or trying to make the thing that will go viral, or trying to meet the person that will make you blow, you will never meet the person.
Yeah, actually, yes.
Because if it happens, you will take glory. You will say, it's because I did this and did that. But you never know.
And many people who are even like successful people never even planned to be. They just sort of stumbled into it.
Yeah.
And that's why I love what, you know, T.D. Jakes said. He said that, that his son was really worrying, I think, about like a, you know, thing he had to, you know, decide on. And he was asking his dad, like, what if this thing doesn't work out? And his dad was like, that's, you know, T.D. Jakes was like, if it is not the thing, then it becomes the thing that leads you to that thing. It's like, nothing is wasted. It doesn't matter. Like, I feel like when I started YouTube, I was like, hi guys, and like everybody starts out that way, and then you eventually just find, like, and even now I feel like God has even been like moving me creatively into other spaces. I don't even know where I will be in like 10 years. So I can never get there and be like, oh, I saw this all along, I was planning for it at all.
You can't. And I think that's something that God likes to do, which I was very mad about when I was younger. Because I'm like, just show me the whole road. Just tell me that, okay, when you do this in January, this will happen in April. Then this, because I'm such a planner, right? I like to like really know. I know what I'm going to do every day of this week already. It just helps me sleep better.
Yeah.
Jigger. And if I don't know what I'm going to do on Saturday, it will be bothering me from Monday.
Yeah. I feel like I actually used to fight God. I used to be like, you didn't tell me that
people were going to come. Me.
And no, me, I was angry because I felt like he deceived me. I felt like, yo, fam, this wasn't the plan. I'm out here in the streets.
I do get.
I wasn't planning to be in the streets.
Yeah, so that's something I used to be mad about before. But I see the upside, right? I feel like it's good.
Because
I was telling you yesterday now that if God had somehow showed me that, Salem, when you start making videos, you are going to blow up. And strangers will walk up to you in public and try to talk to you, I would have stopped. Jigga, I would have stopped. Or I would have made my page private or
I tried to make my page private once. It was useless. I think I woke up the next morning and saw how many message requests. I just
Jigga, I would have stopped. So it makes sense that God in his wisdom just keeps setting things for me. It's like, take the first step first.
Just take one step.
And take another step. I think it's less scary that way. And we're able to actually understand things as we go. So I would just encourage everybody, take your time. Just do the thing that you do and do it consistently all the time. Don't keep looking for a big break. Don't keep looking for a big... It's in the consistency.
Yeah. Okay, I think we should just stop here so that it doesn't get too long. I feel like I can go on for another 30 minutes. But thank you so much, Salem,
for taking your time,
for coming. I'm so... If you know how happy I am that I have you on this podcast episode, you'll not even believe it. I'm very happy that you're here. I hope that our listeners, get to benefit from this. I hope this didn't sound like two, privileged people ranting about how privileged their life is.
I think we deserve that. To be honest, everybody, don't be angry. We're we need to
vent a little bit. But thank you so much, Salem. I'm grateful. And you guys should not forget that we have merch. Support the podcast. I will see you in the next podcast episode.